again.
You're listening to Industrial Evolution. I'm your host, Chad Perry, CTO and software engineer. You can find more episodes and contact information on our website, industrial.fm. Enjoy the show, and if you need help with custom software, data integrations, or strategy, be sure to reach out. That's industrial.fm. In this episode, we're speaking with Adam Krieger, founder and president of Preferred Strategies, a California-based provider of business intelligence solutions. As an intelligence provider, Adam's team has mastered the art of weaving together meaningful views of data from the myriad of data sources that successful companies tend to accumulate over time. While many of their customers rely on platforms from JD Edwards and Microsoft, data can come from anywhere, and that's increasingly the case as industrial organizations become ever more connected. But the real story here is not the data or even the complex integrations. The real story is what's being done with that data once it's compiled into meaningful reports and analytics. So Adam is with us to share some hard-won wisdom about getting the most out of your investment in data integrations, whether you're a small manufacturer or an industry giant. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Chad. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Now, I know you've been around since 2002 and that you started Preferred Strategies based on firsthand experience, or maybe should I say pain. So can you tell me a little more about your background and how you ended up having such a narrow, but obviously very valuable focus?
Our company's been around since 2002. Prior to that, I worked for a JD Edwards customer that just started implementing the ERP, and I was in their finance department. And like all ERP customers, especially in the early days, it was a struggle to get information out of the system and turn into usable, or data turn into usable information. And so we found some technologies that worked well when I was there. And 4 years later, I left that company to start Preferred Strategies to help, you know, take what we found to be valuable at that company and apply it to other customers with the same pain points. So that's kind of how we all got started back in the day. And then since 2002, obviously in the business intelligence and analytics space, things change on an annual basis almost. So we've kind of been evolving over time.
Of course, as a software engineer, I'm, you know, this is right up my alley, data integrations. I'm thinking in terms of like database scripts. And, you know, I know that a lot of our audience doesn't necessarily care about that level of detail. But the original question I had in mind was the idea of like, what is this role of data integrations moving into the future as it relates to the fourth industrial revolution? But I think a better question is to look downstream beyond that and think about this more in terms of getting more out of that business investment. So what I'd like to start with is your perspective on the last 20 years, kind of where we've come from, where are companies now as opposed to when you first started back in 2002?
When I was first got engaged in the ERP space and working, you know, at a company that was just implementing that, I mean, there were still, you know, things were printing on green screen paper off of, you know, IBM iSeries, and we still have customers, you know, doing some of those same database platforms, you know, today. But that's kind of, you know, it was a big transition to ERP, right? So a lot of these legacy, you know, with the Y2K and the whole bit, and then, you know, getting to the ERP. And so people were excited about, oh my gosh, we're going to have everything seamlessly integrated and centralized. And then I think what people didn't realize was that these ERPs are great for getting data in, but they were never designed to get data out. And so I think that's always been the struggle. I don't think people thought to really probe on that early on. So what I think's happened even back then 20 years ago, and we're still seeing it today, a lot of companies have just relied on the quickest way to get what they need. And that's been running an inquiry or running a report inside the system and exporting to Excel. And even though the digital age around analytics is growing so fast, there's still a lot of companies that are still running their month-end operating statements and spreadsheets, right? So I think that's where, you know, the you know, people come in and they just think there should be an easy button or there's an easy way to get at the data. But when you're talking about ERP, it's just not the case. And so these systems are very complex. And so what we've done is tried to take our knowledge and our domain on both sides. We understand of those 5,000 database tables and how we get the right scripts to be able to take that data and turn into decision-ready information. And so that's really what our company built out with our Quick Launch product to already have these practice integrations that allow customers to not sign up for a 2,000-hour consulting engagement with a big consulting firm, but be able to get data in a matter of weeks and be able to use that for better decision making. So that's what we're still seeing like this. What's exciting is what we found is that there's a lot of companies that have built reporting and analytics technologies, and we chose not to do that. We chose to use the market leading technologies like Microsoft and Power BI. And that's what we love and our customers love, because Microsoft has done everything right in getting this technology. You want to use it on your desktop? Download it for free. You want to basically share it over the web? It's $10. And now you can even get it much larger scale for only $20 per user per month. So because that's becoming the de facto standard we're seeing in the market, that's the technologies they want to use. And so our solution is, in essence, saying, okay, well, you don't have to take the next 2 years to figure out how to make that work. In 8 weeks, you're going to basically have that, running, full bore on your desktop and with all your executives on the web.
I started programming as a teenager in the late 90s. I remember in 2002, I was skilled enough to know that a lot of things could be built, but I didn't have the business awareness to understand why everybody seemed so far behind. And even fast forward, like 5 to 10 years later, as I was developing more e-commerce, B2B e-commerce solutions that touched a lot of industrial organizations, I got the sense that they were behind other businesses.
Just again, this evolution of technology. And it went back, we were talking about, people just writing reports and exporting to Excel. But business intelligence has been around for a long time, right? And so, I was thinking the traditional BI, where these are very IT-centric type solutions. And so it became, you have an ERP, you need to get data out, you go to IT, they build something for you, build a data warehouse, maybe they go ahead. And at the end of the day, you were transitioning into really IT-driven processes, IT-delivered solutions, but never for the business was never able to really be self-sufficient, right? They could just run these reports from IT. I think a few years ago, Gartner, when they looked at their magic quadrant for BI and analytics, and they kind of used the terminology of traditional BI to modern BI, right? So that was the kind of the chasm shift from IT-centric solutions to really business-driven solutions. And I think the missing piece of that, which when we get back to the integrations, is now the technologies, data visualization, the Power BIs, the Tableaus of the world, the Clicks of the world, they make, if you can get the right data into the report or into the model, you can do everything you want, right? But that's really the big black box, is the missing piece of, okay, how do I tie in my Salesforce CRM data with my ERP, and I've got ADP for HR, and I've got all these things. So I think that the transition, and I think I went a little off of the question that you had asked a little bit there, Chad, but just kind of thinking, we've lived and really back in 2002, we didn't start with the Microsoft, and Power BI wasn't even on the scene until 2015. But we started out with crystal reports. So we thought that was the best thing, since sliced bread. And so that's where our company was founded. And we were going out there, sitting down with J.D. Edwards customers. And we had created a tailored training program to build income statements and balance sheets and financial operating statements with crystal. And we had the drill down. So you could say, I'm over budget by $10,000, and I'll drill all the way down to the details. But it was a traditional report, and it wasn't a report that a normal business person could really figure out how to maintain or change. And that's kind of led to that traditional BI. We branched out to full-fledged business objects. And then that was like, the back of the time, that was the hot thing. Everybody needed BI, BI, BI. And then it still became, a struggle for business. And so that's really what we've seen shift is, the leading technologies today have that emphasis in mind, is that there needs to be a way to empower business users at the end of the day, but it can't just be IT feeding the business users. You need to be able to be able to do some stuff on their own.
I think what you're describing is what a lot of people describe as going data-driven. We've got two aspects of that. One is the technology has now advanced to the point where back in 2002, I'm thinking, okay, Crystal reports, this could be drag and drop. It should be so much better, but the technology was not there. Now we have a lot of those capabilities where the tools can be self-service. We've got the cloud to bring the cost down. We've got elastic capacity so that planning is no longer an issue. But the flip side of that is the age-old problem of understanding what you're trying to get out of that data, because all the technology in the world is actually going to probably hinder you more than help you the less you understand what you're trying to do.
You're right on the money there. And I think what we find is that, you know, we have a few criteria for ours. We have a niche business that we've talked about. We've got a select product. So if you're running the ERPs of JD Edwards or Viewpoint Vista, which is a construction specific ERP, or Salesforce, right? If you run, you know, those technologies, we've got this package solution. But really for us, there's really three criteria for where we can find the most success with our customer base. And it starts with, you know, do you run one of these source applications? Are you a data-driven organization or are you striving to be one, right? And then the third is, you know, is Power BI your technology of choice? We can support other technologies other than Power BI, but if that's the combination is in place, that's where we can get you 95% of the way down the path instead of only 60 or 70%. And so back to the data-driven point of that is that it's so critical because it's hard to change culture within businesses, right? And so what we see is a catalyst is somebody that either maybe there's a shift of a CIO or CFO or a new CEO that comes in and just says, look, we are only going to be able to succeed and be competitive in this landscape if we are, you know, relying more and making better decisions based on our data. And so I think that's critical. And but because of the space that we live in on the ERP side, and a lot of these companies are early on in their data maturity of that evolutionary path, a lot of times, sometimes they're like, look, we are already a data-driven organization, or some are, we've got this initiative from the top down and the whole company that we need to move more in that direction. And I think, you know, when it comes to then these technologies that allow the users like the Power BIs and like the Tableaus, these visuals, data visualization, I think what we find is that there's some people and analysts and architects that are very like they love it and can get going really quickly. But in the area of some in like finance, as an example, it's kind of a whole new way of thinking or seeing. So it's that's the challenge becomes, you know, everybody knows Excel, right? I can take data, I can throw it into a spreadsheet, I can put VLOOKUPs on it, I can do all this stuff, I can do pivot tables. And that's where there's that comfort zone. But now you start introducing these technologies that you basically visualize right away. Oh my gosh, I'm over budget because there's this big red bar on the screen that's basically saying, you know, ask me why. You just click on it and you can get the answer, or one click away. It's helping you mine directly. And so I think that's the challenge, is how do you get people that have never or can't even fathom seeing data in a different way than a spreadsheet or a traditional report? And that's where, you know, we've created multiple training programs as part of our quick launch solution. We have a community and a user group, and so really kind of trying to bring companies together. And that's really one of the things that is really driving success is getting people over that hurdle.
What exactly is the difference between a data-driven organization and one that's becoming a data-driven organization? And maybe give me some practical examples.
Every year that goes on, you know, the whole workforce, you know, ages. What's happening is a lot of, if you look at the decisions being made at the management levels, a lot of those senior management, they've just become to rely on gut, right? And the gut decision, like, they know, and there's still the reality of gut has to equate into the discussion. And so we went in and we were doing it for at a local or a regional user conference. We were presenting a machine learning presentation. This was a couple of years ago. And so we actually hired one of the leaders globally in this space to kind of help us, you know, prepare for this presentation. I remember what he told me, and I love his quote, because he was saying that, you know, you start building out these models and machine learning, And really what that starts out as, it's just another voice in the room, right? You're sitting with around a room with executives and everybody's chime in on what they think that we should do. What's the decision to be made? But what's the data telling us, right? If the data is saying one thing and everybody else is saying something completely different, that should be alarming, right? But I think there's a trust issue with that, right? Do you trust the data yet? And I think that's a big transition. But I think when we say, what are companies that are data driven or what does that really mean for them? I think it's people that are willing to have enough confidence in that, you know, the data is telling us something and we need to at least give it some merit to what that means. And I think it's going to take a while because, you know, if you've got somebody that's basing decisions on gut feel, they don't even, there's in some industries, there's some people that never even turn on their computer, right? Even today, they might be on their phone checking emails or something like that, but they're not, you know, they're not really that, you know, computer literate. And so I think that's going to be, but once I think people see or they get the idea, especially with the advanced analytics and machine learning and predictive and I think once people get a few real life scenarios and say, oh my gosh, we have a customer that's basically already shared, they've started putting together some of these type of models, and literally within 6 months, they've already been able to equate it to millions of dollars of savings to the bottom line that they have purely based on these technologies. We have another customer in the construction space. They went, started analyzing, you know, after they were in, you know, 6 months to 12 months of using, you know, these technologies and quick launch, and been able to equate to 1,000 hours of savings a month based on the old way and the new way. And so if you look at that, well, what does that mean? Well, you could say that's 1,000 hours, but those people would have been doing other things. Now they can. They can spend more time helping drive the cost down because they're more efficient with what they're doing. And they still even feel that, look, we haven't even fully assessed the before and after. They think they may only be halfway there. So, you know, for a lot of companies, they see this, well, that's because now they're more data driven. They were already had the idea of, we had a vision, right? And that's the key. You have to have that vision of what that future state will be.
I think you described it in the beginning of our conversation as a behavioral problem. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the last interview that I did like this was actually, we were talking about this very thing. There's multiple parts to this conversation. So you've got the generational aging, as you mentioned, where in the past, executives and anybody in a senior role got to that position because they were good at making decisions about certain things. And a lot of that was based on that experience. But we're seeing this paradigm shift to now where that certainly has a place, and we definitely want to be careful not to get rid of it. And in fact, we really want to make sure that we're able to transfer that experience and knowledge as well. But now we have this new dimension. Really, there's this new seat at the table, and that is we have all the data that we need to build a model. But this to me feels very much like a discussion around how do you get behavioral transformation in an organization.
I think because of the hype around the advanced analytics, machine learning, and people just think, throw all your data in and it'll come out with all the answers of what you should do, right? Like that's, I think, how people think, oh yeah, you know, just put all the data in there. It's going to tell you, right? It's not the case, right? You have to identify specific areas of, you know, business challenges or where you can say, okay, you have to give enough inputs and you know, tweak the variables of that to actually get a meaningful response out of that. And I think that's where, because of that, you know, some customers have already identified scenarios, whether or not it's optimizing routes and transportation or, you know, trying to predict, you know, your assets are going to, you know, engines are going to fail on your heavy equipment, right? So, you know, there's some of that where you can, but I think that's kind of the big challenge is in this transformation. And so, I think what's happening is it's happening. I shouldn't say slower. It's already happening in, you know, even very large or small customers. We have our smallest customers, 25 million in revenue, and our largest is 150 billion, right? So we cover all industries and all sizes, but even some of the smaller companies are starting to leverage, you know, some of these technologies. But But I think that's where it's only going to get once companies have some wins and have proven the value, that it's only exponentially going to grow, because they're going to have one department going to the other and say, oh my gosh, I want in. And we've had some customers where they get something like this in place, and we've had the, whether or not it's, you know, on the finance or the IT side, that's been basically kind of managing the primary responsibility of getting the project in place, that they, and they tell us, there's people lined out my door wanting, when is it my turn, right? When can I get some of this? I think that's kind of the, you know, once companies have accomplished that, where, you know, and I think it starts, you know, one is, and we, in our, when we work with customers, and, you know, you said they come to us, you know, it's, what are you trying to, you know, achieve? What are your business goals, right? I mean, again, every, the companies that survive are the ones that are, you know, not, you know, losing money, right? They're not, you know, filing bankruptcy. They're the ones that are figuring out, okay, we're winning more business, we're gaining market share, and we can only do that because of some of the choices and the decisions that we're talking about. And I think it's unavoidable now. You will not be able to compete in the, you know, even now, if you're not already have a plan in place. I do think the other flip side of that is, you know, it is, nothing's going to be like you flip a switch and overnight this just magically appears. So I do think it makes sense to create a strategic data strategy and create a plan. And that plan won't be a 2-month plan. It's probably going to be a 5 or 10 year plan, but it's what you do and decisions you make, even in the first 6 to 12 months, are going to really set up for huge success or potential unfortunate failures for some.
I think of this pipeline. You've got a problem. That's the first step in the pipeline. You've got a solution that will solve that problem. And then beyond the solution, you have an outcome that delivers. So that's some sort of real world change. And that's what you're ultimately after. That's where you're going to actually get your return on investment. And so I'm thinking of all the different technical challenges that go into this as being kind of sandwiched in the middle. So you've got your solution, which is a lot of technical stuff. First of all, you need to understand your data sources. Second of all, you need to understand how to actually transform those data sources at a technical level. So, you know, that could be something as specific as currency fields and dates and stuff like that. And then, of course, you have to understand if you're pulling that from an existing structured database like a JD Edwards or PeopleSoft or whatever it happens to be, you have to really understand all those things. That's what your customers rely on you for. But there's those outer pieces where you've got your problem and you've got your outcome. That is very much a partnership and an interactive. It's like a dance. So the problem is understanding what exactly are we working with here? Are we working with an organization that has to actually go beyond just understanding our data sources and have some sort of transformational strategy in place, behavioral transformation? And then on the outside of that, it's, well, our executives are not living in the ARP. They're making decisions based on stuff. And so we have to explicitly define those. So tell me a little bit about what that conversation looks like when a customer comes to you.
We get people that find us, and, you know, they either come from the IT side, or they come from the business side or the finance side, our operations side. Sometimes maybe it's a VP of sales. It's, you know, hey, we need to do better at managing our marketing, you know, analytics per se. So that's, you know, when someone comes to us, sometimes they all come at a different understanding. You know, sometimes it's a new CIO that never worked at a JD Edwards. And you mentioned, you know, dates and columns. JD Edwards, if you look at, and I think I've seen this with multiple ERPs that we've dabbled with, you know, the column names aren't really logical. So you'll see a table name will be F0006, right? So what is that, right? And the column name within that database table will be MCMCU. Okay, well, that happens to be the business unit master. The MCMCU is the key business unit field, right? But translating that, the dates are in a Julian format. There's 5,000 or 4,000 of these tables, this cryptic nature. So some people in IT have already kind of figured out, okay, I know how to go, you know, figure out to make sense of that data. But what people then realize when they see our package solution of Quick Launch, a lot of people say, oh my gosh, this sounds way too good to be true. I don't, you know, am I seeing what I'm seeing here? Because we've already spent tens of thousands of hours working with all of this to put it together. So in 8 weeks, we can get something installed. But even if the company was starting from scratch using the same technologies that we use, they would still be spending 2 or 3 years, right? So if you think about it, if you've got a CEO that's saying, look, we need to be competitive now. If I can't get something from the data for 2 or 3 years, I don't even, the questions I'm asking today aren't going to be the same questions I'm asking then. And that's the challenge when you look at the traditional approach of IT building out these data warehouses. You know, what happens is, you know, probably the executive or the person who started that project, by the time it actually even gets halfway done, they might not even be with the company anymore, right? Or if they failed, then somebody is probably maybe potentially losing their job around that. So I think, you know, when people come to us, we try to, again, figure out what is it that you're trying to accomplish that's going to help you move your corporate needle. And then let's tie that back and figure out how can you then, you know, get the shortest way to get that. But it's not just the data. And I think and even what we do in our solution, we have what we build out is these measures or calculations and KPIs. And they're not just calculating a KPI. We also tie into the calendar. So we do them, we call them time intelligence calculations. So you'll have not just what's my revenue, but what's my year-to-date revenue? What's my budget? What's my actual, my units? And so, you know, when you have all those, but in the big company space, not everybody's on a standard calendar, right? So now you're running sales and you basically on a 4-4-5 fiscal calendar. So, you know, when you're comparing this year versus last year, you might want to do it based on business day. So it gets super complicated. And so a lot of times when people come to us, sometimes they actually kind of throw in the towel and say, look, we would never be able to figure this out. Like we don't have. And really, if you think about it, companies, if they're going to go out and hire a full-fledged analytics team, that's great to mine data and make decisions based on the data. But building something, it doesn't make sense because your company is successful for what you sell, for what you do. You should do that better.
So it's really important to distinguish between the data itself, just ingesting a massive amount of data, and the modeling of that data. The modeling of that data is relevant to your business model. That is potentially your secret sauce and how you stay competitive.
100%. Yeah, that's the thing is, it's funny because we sometimes will get in, engage with a prospect or a customer, and we're walking through and we will do a demonstration and they'll say, oh, you sell a package of reports, right? Or dashboards. And it's true. Part of our solution does come with some packaged dashboards and reports that get mapped over the customer's data all throughout. But we sell this governed decision framework of a data model, right? So what we want to do is people that are making decisions, they want to have confidence in the data. We provide that confidence because what the traditional sense is, someone takes a tool like Power BI, they grab some data from a spreadsheet or maybe even from a data source, and they build the report and build a calculation, let's say for gross profit. Well, my colleague right down the hall is doing the same thing, but how I'm calculating gross profit and how he's calculating gross profit or she's calculating gross profit are not the same. But we're both then presenting our reports to others in the company, and then there's these you know, inconsistencies. And so I think the idea is you're right. It's how you model the data. You have to understand how to do it. You have to do it properly, and then you want to get buy-in across the organization of how are we as a company calculating these so it means something to everybody. And what we do in when we model this with Power BI and the data modeling with Microsoft, we actually, you know, we add documentation and little descriptions to each of the measures or columns or fields. So when a customer's like, okay, well, geez, how is gross profit being calculated? They mouse over that, it pops up with that, says, oh, it's including these order types or line types or it's, you know, these range of accounts. And so it helps people say, okay, now I get it. That's why my other one over here was missing that or something. And so that's where I think, but you have to have, if you're building something, regardless in this analytic space, if you can't get that confidence, there's no way to succeed. And so, you know, I think that having a strategy, following, you know, a set of best practices. And what we do also, I'll take a little quick side note, even though we've got these package solutions for JD Edwards and Viewpoint and Salesforce.com, we do is we help customers say, look, you want consistency. We're showing you, we're giving you the secret sauce. We're giving you this package solution. Use the same methodology for all your data sources. There's no reason why, if you're pulling some HR data that's totally, even if it's a legacy system, you still need to know what are your year-to-date hours. If you're already calculating and the company's agreed on a way to calculate a year-to-date metric, keep it consistent because you have to maintain it. At some point, there's something, oh, we're going to make a change. You don't want each developer coming in with their own spin on things. So I'm off in the weeds again, Chad.
I would think of that as you are taking something that on the surface, something like data that seems very cut and dry, but actually can be quite subjective, especially in accounting. And as we've obviously seen with various scandals throughout history, it's quite subjective sometimes. Yes. But you're making that deterministic. At least you're drawing a line in the sand and saying for whatever set of data that we're talking about, potentially future sets of data as well, we're giving you a framework to pipe that data into this model and have the confidence that your data is going, your output, your reports are going to be consistent and therefore your decisions will be consistent. So I think if we could put a period on the manifestation of Industry 4.0, of data-driven organizations, of this transformation going into the future, it is that decisions can be more relevant and more current.
That's really what it comes down to. And even, you know, what we do as a business, you know, we like to think that we're in business to make companies smarter. We're in business to make people smarter. We're in business to basically help people gain more knowledge and understand how they can do everything they do in their, you know, daily jobs better, right? And so I think, you know, at the end of the day, I still feel, even though we're not talking about technologies helping people make decisions, it's still people that make decisions, right? And so, you know, they should, right? I mean, obviously you can, again, that's what I like about the data might tell you, it's another voice in the room, but at the end of the day, it's the person. And we're in the people business and we're in the decision business. And so, I think you hit on it. It's the more accurate, confidently people can make decisions is exactly where, I think at all levels of the organization, what people want, right? And I think that's where, I do think that's kind of the trusting your gut versus trusting your data. And I think as those do kind of merge together, it's going to be harder for companies to not trust the data once they have the confidence that the data is accurate, right? Because the data doesn't lie if it's calculated properly. And then back to that question and a little bit about the, you know, having that lineage back and some of the scandals that you mentioned and, you know, auditors, it's sometimes auditors, if there's too much missing kind of vapor between the data and the what the reports are at the end, they like to know, okay, I need this direct trail that we can track. And so, you know, we work to provide that kind of lineage in that to provide that level of confidence.
This all sounds really good in theory, right? But I understand that being a technology provider, you're constantly running into challenges, not things that are insurmountable, but definitely sometimes you get surprises or sometimes really, I think a lot of the work is in educating your customers on what's possible or what's not possible, or going back to this concept of extracting out the requirements based on them having to understand their business outcomes better than they potentially do at the moment. So how can somebody as a strategic planner buttress their organization against potential hiccups as they go through this?
The technology space that we're in around data and analytics and reporting and business intelligence, I think there was, you know, studies that were done years ago that 87% of these type of projects fail, right? And so sometimes we get engaged, and again, that same comment of, this sounds too good to be true. We installed this other BI application 4 years ago. It never got off the ground. We spent $500,000 and have nothing to show for it. How are you any different? Right. And so one is that, you know, the technologies have changed. sometimes people have changed, sometimes the culture has changed. But I think that that was always one of, you know, we've tried this before and failed. And but I don't think it's necessarily trying the same thing, right? If we look at the details of what the prior engagement, the prior effort was and why it failed, you know, that's where, you know, you got to make sure you're hitting all the right buttons, because it's not just, there is no, again, easy button. There's no magic software you just throw in and it's just going to, you know, there's a, you know, a path, because it's the software can make you successful, but you have to make it successful as well. And I think, so some of the challenges, and there are some, we have now a handful of customers that, you know, we're talking about, oh, JD Edwards and one ERP as an example. We have some that are running five different ERPs and saying, I need to blend data across five ERPs together, right? That's crazy. I mean, that's complicated. Right? So, but then it forces you to think, what, you know, you might need to get information from all five of those ERPs, and you need to maybe see consolidated information across all five of those ERPs, but you need to really think that through of what you're trying to accomplish and what you need to get out of it to make some of those decisions at the consolidated level. Because you can't, it's so almost unreachable to take every column of every table and every ERP and blend them together, right? Because there's just no, and then, you know, that you talked about the currencies and we talk about, so anyways, I think there's, people should identify what they're trying to accomplish, put it into more bite-sized, prioritized kind of phases. But I think the key is because a lot of people, this is newer technology, it's a new way of thinking. And initially, I'm gonna take a step back, is we've actually had this engagement, and we had a customer roundtable like last year with three of our key customers, and we asked a lot of questions. And one thing that comes up a lot of times with customers is, oh, our data is not clean, right? We need to clean our data first, and then we'll do something like this, right? We have to clean our data first. And it's so funny because it's the cart before the horse. Well, how do you know what you need to clean, right? Like right now, if you say your data is dirty, what do you? And so what we find is that with our solution is that it'll right away, whatever's in your source is now visually right in front of you. Immediately, you know where the data is good and where, oh, we're missing, you know, we don't have all states set up right in our, you know, how do we get, well, we only do business in North America, yet we've got an address showing up in Australia. How'd that happen, right? Well, because someone forgot to put the state in or something. And so that's what we find is in all three of the customers that we had on this roundtable all said the same thing. If you think you should clean your data before you do something like this, you're flat wrong. Get this in place. Now, maybe that's a phase, all right? Let's just take the first step of getting it. But I think that the key would be quick wins, right? What would be the biggest value add to the business? If we could pick one, two, or three things that if this could actually deliver on that, how would that change the perception in the organization and change how your business operates?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you the key takeaway, but it sounds like that's really what it is. And overall, I feel like we're making more of a commentary on the human condition than we are actually on technology, because most of what we've talked about has been about just stepping back and understanding what you're trying to accomplish, not falling for this idea of it having to be perfect up front, so that, you know, making sure the data is clean before you do anything with it. And overall, just really thinking about the end result. So on that note, we're going to have to wrap up. If somebody wants to get in touch with you and start that conversation, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, anybody's interested, again, if you run JD Edwards or you run Viewpoint Vista, you run Salesforce and want to understand, you know, what our other customers are doing to make better decisions around that data, you can reach out to me. My name is, you know, Adam Krigger, A. Krigger, A-C-R-I-G-G-E-R, preferredstrategies.com. Also, as a business too, you know, we are always looking at other technologies that have challenges that you know have a good potential for, you know, where quick launch a solution we have for these would be beneficial. So if anything that you, any feedback on that would be well appreciated. Love to hear from you and have a chat.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's been a real pleasure.